Chapter 17. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, what did the nine miss? What did the nine miss? They were 10 leopards who came to Jesus, and they asked for mercy and for the Lord to heal them from their leprosy. And he told them to go and see the priest. They went, they were healed. Nine went about to tell family and friends of their cleansing. One turned back and went back to Jesus, fell on his face before them, and said, "Thank you. Thank you." I wonder sometimes in our hearts and our lives if we are truly thankful for the blessings that God has blessed us with. As we were thinking this week, and there's been a lot of interest in what the church is going to do and concerning the gift that Brother Travis gave us. And in my opinion, he gave it to the Lord. This is the Lord's house and that as well. But the Lord just burdened my heart, and I found this scripture and stuff about, have we thanked God for what he has blessed us with and the gift that Brother Travis has given us. What started this out, you'd have to back up a little bit from verse 11. You'd find the apostles, the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And they said to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." The Lord began to deal with them concerning their request to increase their faith. Now, faith is believing that God can do exactly what he said he was going to do. Do you believe that? Amen. How strong is your faith in believing that? Why do we so many times turn to so many other alternatives before we turn to God, the one true God that can make us faithful? He gave them an illustration, as he always usually did in his teachings. You know, he used parables and various things, you know, and that's just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But he used a narrative here of a grain of mustard seed. And all of us in our gardens have had greens that we planted, mustard and turnips and collards and different things, you know. But how one little seed cast into the ground, put out roots, break through the soil, and grow and became a meal for us for many, many days in the future. That's what he used here as a illustration here and their lives. And he said that, "Which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, would say unto him by and by, when it has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? But rather, you say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me." See, we focus on ourselves more than we so focus on the things that God has for us and our hearts and our lives. But verse 9 said, "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not." If we took time to stop and thank the Lord, you know, that his servant, Brother Travis, gave us a wonderful gift, that if it's protected right and used correctly, will carry this church a long way down the road, meeting his needs in our hearts and our lives. He said here, did he thank the servant? Have you and I thanked him? Then he gets into what I wanted to share with you this morning. Verse 11 says that it came to pass. What does that mean? It happened. That's right. As he went to Jerusalem, what's he going to Jerusalem for? Going to make his way back down there, and old Cephas is going to do everything in his power, as we shared last Sunday, to get him killed. He wants him out of the picture. He's a threat to him and his life and in his political career and stuff. Word gets back to Rome and what's going on down in Israel down there. They're going to hold him accountable. And Caiaphas just knows that he can't stand the pressure. And that's the reason he told him it's better that one die than they all die. And he was convincing them last week that it was necessary to kill Jesus. Why was he having to sell the fact that he needed to sell Jesus, the idea that he needed to die? What was he trying to tell them? Don't have enough faith. Don't understand. He said it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. See, he had to take a different path. Why did he have to take a different path? Caiaphas had put out an order, and what did that order say? You remember? Give you a little pop test from last Sunday. The order said that if anybody sees or knows the whereabouts of this man called Jesus, let me know. He didn't want to bring him in and put a crown on his head and a robe on his back and put him on that donkey and ride him through town. That wasn't what his dream was. What? If he could find him, what was he going to do? He's going to kill him. So he's coming through the back roads, as we would say here in Bexley. The scripture says that as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprosy was a disease in that day and time that perhaps at times it healed itself, according to the type of leprosy that they had. But in most cases, there was no cure for leprosy. But should an individual with leprosy think that his leprosy was drying up and his cure was no more, he could go and show himself to the priest, and the priest could declare him cleansed of his leprosy. Otherwise, he had to stay afar off. Those that had leprosy usually formed a little band or a little village, and they stayed off one from another, and they shared in their leprosy. And in this case here, the scripture says that as Jesus was entered into this certain little village, that 10 men with leprosy came out to meet him. And they stood afar off. And the scripture says they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Three things they said there. They called him by name, so that tells you they knew what? Knew who he was. That's right. Master, recognizing him for who he was as being the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Then they asked for what? The third thing. Mercy. Mercy. And if it were not for Jesus' mercy, where would we be? Jesus does something here pretty dramatic concerning them. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass. What does that mean? Still means the same thing. It happened. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't even have to get to the priest. If it had got to the priest could have took credit for saying they're cleansed. But on their way to the priest, what happened? Jesus healed them. You think about what he's doing in their lives and how he's dealing with them here. And their obedience to do. But what did his disciples ask for? Jesus is dealing this to help the leprosy, those with the leprosy. But he's answering the question that his disciples had for him when they asked the Lord, Lord, would you increase my faith? Lord, would you increase my faith? I think all of us could take a double dose of increase in our faith, you know? Faith is just trusting the Lord to do what he promised to you and I he would do. And these men evidently formed this little band, and they said to themselves, if there ever a time and a place where this man called Jesus crosses our path, where we can get close enough to cry out to him, we're going to ask him not to be healed, but ask him for his mercy, ask him for his grace in our hearts and our lives. They cried out and said, Master, have mercy on us. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Before they ever got to the priest, as they went, they were cleansed. Then I like what happens next, verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. He's on his way. Let's just suppose they had gotten about halfway between the little village that they came out of there and where Jesus was, making their way down to where Jesus was. He discovers himself as being cleansed. He turns and he begins to go back to Jesus. The whole time in his going back, what's he doing? Glorifying God. What is that saying to all the people around him? What is it telling them? He's thankful for what the Lord has done for him. But what about the other nine? What did they miss? They're cleansed. They get to the priest and he's going to declare them clean. And they're going to be free to return to their world, their families, their jobs, everything that is important to them. But yet only one of them turned and thanked the Lord for what he blessed them with. Many times in our hearts and our lives, God blesses us. We take full credit for it. Get that slap on the back, that attaboy, we go our way. Jesus healed all 10 lepers, but only one of them returned to thank him. Do you realize that it's possible to receive God's great gifts with an ungrateful spirit? To me, these nine experienced an ungrateful spirit. If they had have been grateful, what would they have done? They would have returned with the one, wouldn't they? I don't want us as a church family to omit the blessing that we've been blessed with because we'd receive it with an ungrateful spirit. I want us to receive it in a manner, in a way that the spirit of Brother Travis and the Lord will live on in our lives for days and months and years to come of his mercy and his grace. Don't get me wrong. There's been so many of you in the past that have sacrificed and given and done so much for kingdom work here at Bexley. But I don't want us to miss the opportunity, and I've probably been guilty of leading you in the past to have that ungrateful spirit. But I want us to make sure we like the one and not the nine, that we're thankful. Only the thankful man learned that his faith had played a role in his healing. Listen what it says in verse 16. It said, he fell down on his face at his feet, talking about the Lord, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Jews absolutely hated Samaritans, half-breeds. Didn't like anything, any part, wouldn't be associated with them in any way. But out of these 10, 9 of them were Jews or whatever. Just one Samaritan. He was the one that's thankful. What did the 9 miss? They missed being able to learn about God's and his faith, and how God was going to play a role in his healing. But not only was he going to learn, but his 12 apostles or his 12 disciples, who had asked the Lord just previous to this, Lord, increase my faith. Now, let me see if I can get you to think what I'm trying to say. Many times, when we ask the Lord for something, we want it when? Now. Right now. That's right. We don't like this waiting game. We don't like this play out and see and stuff. But his disciples has asked him to increase their faith. Now, you can say in your heart and your life that perhaps they went the long way around. A lot of times Jesus had to go the long way around, because you're like Caiaphas last week. If anybody knows anything about the whereabouts of this man, tell me. He got to die, you know. So Jesus is having to go back around and come through these little villages and stuff when he could have just rode right on in, but that wasn't God's plan, was it? And the scripture says here that this Samaritan came to Jesus. Listen what Jesus tells him in verse 17. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. See, he ain't even called an apostle. He ain't even called a believer. He's called a what? Stranger. Why? They didn't recognize Samaritans. You know? We all have problems. We all have needs. We all have concerns in our lives. What's taking place concerning this? Only the thankful man learned that his faith had played a role. Jesus told him, arise, go thy way. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not asking Jesus to heal him. Not going out to meet him. Not crying out, calling him Master and Lord. And not any of those things. What made him whole? His faith. His faith. You know what's going to make old Brother Larry whole one of these days? My faith. My faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, you know. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is going to do what he said he's going to do. Whether he takes me through the death or whether he takes me through the rapture, I'm going to be with him, you know. And I believe that with all of my heart. And what he's doing in our hearts and in our lives. Only grateful Christians grow in understanding of God's grace. What is his grace? It's his unmerited favor in toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Hundreds and thousands of years ago, God's plan was to save old Larry Havard. and each one of you that puts your faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior. I haven't seen the Lord. I haven't seen heaven, but I've experienced the stirring of God's Spirit in my heart through the Holy Spirit. Give me the faith to believe that it's going to be like he said it was going to be. God doesn't demand us to thank him, but he's pleased when we do. He's just like you and I. He made us put upon himself the form of a man. Came and lived and died. He knows the struggles of this whole world. You know? But he appreciates a thank you. You and I letting him know what a blessing he's blessed us with in our hearts and our lives. All he's doing is using our responsiveness to whatever situation we may be in to teach us more about his faith and more about his mercy that he has demonstrated in our hearts and our lives concerning the things. Not only was this one a leper, he was a Samaritan, a race despised by Jews. Luke is just simply pointing out here that God's grace is for everybody. God's mercy, God's love is for each and every one of us in our lives and the things that was happening. Look at verse 20. It said, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. See, he just pulled off a great miracle in the lives of 10 lepers that were healed of their leprosy. And instead of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, instead of there being a celebration, instead of there being a time of thankfulness, what they want to know, when is this kingdom of God supposed to come? And what were they hinting for? What were they asking for? Jesus told them the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Comes by what? Spirit, doesn't it? Him coming and taking up abode in our hearts and our lives. They just wanted to know how much time they had before this kingdom came so they could do everything in their power to eliminate it. Many, many times, folks, we got to come to a realization that it's not by man, it's by God, that we have the blessings that we're blessed with. What did the 9 miss? They missed the experience of understanding the faith of God and what they had just asked the disciples did. See, he had 10 leopards over him. They professed to be believers because what did they say to him? They cried out to him. And as he went along, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew the correct things to say and do. But once the Lord did for them what he did in healing them, what happened then? They forgot. They were so big a hurry to get to go home to their family, their friends, their old life, you know, that they forgot to do the one thing that mattered the most, and that was to thank the one who had done the most for them. What about us? We pray and we ask God for answers to handle certain situations. And it comes to pass, what do we do? Whew, boy, that worked out. I think I made it through that. And we forget what? Who we ask to help us through it. Do for us what he's doing, you know. You know, our path for thankfulness, what the Lord's done for us, started a long time ago. And as you look and you see year after year after year after year, how he has blessed us and met the needs in so many hearts and lives. Yet, do we stop? We thank him. Oh, well, we got, Brother Larry, we got Thanksgiving every year. We always thank the Lord, you know, for all he's blessed us with. We thank him for the turkey and the dressing and the dumplings and the pecan pie and all that stuff, you know. What about what he's blessed us with, you know, in our lives? Sometimes we just miss the word faith and the word mercy and the word of God because we take credit for what God's been done for us in our hearts and our lives. Would you pray with me? You know, as we pray this morning, can you honestly and truthfully say to yourself, I've always took time to go back and kneel at the feet of Jesus and thank him. I can't say that this morning, and I'm going to be as your pastor. And I'm going to confess to you this morning. That's a weakness of mine. So proud to get that circumstance worked out or that situation behind us or whatever it is that we're dealing with. That we forget to go back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning, your heart and your life. You haven't taken time to just tell God, thank you. Tell you where I'm going to start at. And that's right here with being thankful for you as my church family. How you have blessed me over and over through the grace and the mercy and the faith of God that's in you to support and stand behind. God, I ask you to forgive me for simply taking for granted what you want to bless us with. Slow us down sometimes and let us just be thankful for what we got instead of piling on more and more stuff. It's a shame, Lord, that we load two dumpsters down with stuff that you blessed us with that we may have used unwisely. Let us be careful as we go forward to make your blessings count for kingdom work in our hearts and our lives. Stir our need. Show us anything that we might need to do. Maybe just come and kneel at these altars. Take a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings you blessed me with, my heart and my life. Whatever we need to do, God, help us to do it. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. What are we going to sing, Brother Ernie?